Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kenny Atkinson yesterday, as we get ready for Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Semis between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Indiana Pacers tonight, 7:30. Have you lost any confidence in Kenny?
No, I actually have not, but I'm also not somebody, you got to remember, I'm not somebody who acted like he invented basketball because he drew up some nice plays and managed minutes in a regular season. I thought that was a little extreme. I did think he was a much needed. I don't like the term. We say upgraded over J.B. Bickerstaff as if Bickerstaff was a total bum. And whoever was replacing him, like Bickerstaff's clearly doing a good job did a good job. The season's over. Did a good job in Detroit. And Atkinson has done a great job this year. But I did warn everybody the playoffs are going to be different. And I wasn't trying to like condescend or talk down, but it's like the playoffs are not about X's and O's. Kenny drew up some great plays. But as anybody has seen in the playoffs, especially like the game sevens, the plays go right out the window. It's do your best to get a shot off. That's the big difference because they call the games differently. You're allowed to grab and hold guys off the ball. You just can't do that in the regular season. So they're two totally different sports. And Kenny Atkinson, I did think the managing of Donovan Mitchell's minutes were going to help him. And clearly, he's right back to where he was last year, which was trying to carry a team as far as he can and being totally exhausted doing it.
Part of that is because of the injuries this year. Folks, don't miss a minute of The Fan during your workday. Stream us 92.3thefan.com on your phone with the free Odyssey app. We got Andrew Berry who joins us 9:15 this morning. We'll talk Browns with him, obviously. He's the Browns general manager, for crying out loud. So I agree with you. One game doesn't change my entire opinion of a coach, for crying out loud. If I'm willing to not budge for Kevin Stefanski for so long, I'm not going to budge for Kenny Atkinson. I think Kenny Atkinson's done a fine job. I was disappointed in game two when you give up a 20-point lead. The coach has to wear that. He is wearing that. I commend him for taking a lot of responsibility there. He's the head coach. I think that's part of his job. But I like Kenny Atkinson a whole lot. And I think that he's still I believe he's a good basketball coach, and I think that he'll learn from game two. But what can you learn from game two, really, when you still got guys who are injured? Now, they tried to move around yesterday during shoot-around. Evan Mobley, DeAndre Hunter, who's dealing with a thumb, and then Darius Garland, where Kenny Atkinson later on had said that Darius Garland is trying, but he still can't move too quickly.
You've been conditioned like crazy, Walter G and the non-impact stuff, but obviously couldn't run or anything.
Do you think that we're going to see Darius Garland tonight?
Man, I have no idea at this point.
I want him to do it so people get off his back.
Well, I said, this would not be great for the Cavs, but just for Darius to get guys like Stephen A. off his back, to go out there and look like OG Anunoby last year in that game seven where he came out and had no business being on the basketball floor, ran up and down the court for 3 minutes, and everybody's like, this is malpractice. Get him out of the game. This is sad.
I don't think it's a in all honesty, I don't think it's a real reason to put him out there.
Right, but that would get people off his back.
But it would definitely get people off his back.
People would feel probably silly. Well, they'd probably be like, I guess my opinion was based on nothing.
We'd probably get a bunch of idiots who are calling in saying that he's embellishing it or something like that. I think they don't like Darius Garland, and they're just never going to like Darius Garland.
In the same vein, if he went out there tonight and dropped 40, that's kind of not a great look either.
No, I totally disagree.
If you're able to score 40 tonight, it's like, dude, we needed you in game two, and now our season.
Wait a minute, did they win?
Yeah.
Then I don't care about game two.
Oh, I think people would be like, he clearly could have played in game two if he went out there and looked great tonight.
No, I think if he went out there and he scored 40 points tonight, I think this is one of the all-time inspiring performances I've ever seen. And I would be dying to be on the radio on Saturday morning.
If he looks 100% healthy?
Yes. If he's 100% healthy,
yeah.
I imagine
I think people would be like, dude, you could have played.
No, I totally disagree.
You think people are going to...
No, I'm sorry.
Are not going to call in with that opinion?
They will. You are right. And I will knock them down every single chance I get. Because if he goes out there and he looks like he's 100%, I'm going to assume that he has been shot up with every drug known to man make him feel as good as he possibly can to go out there and play at a high level.
But I thought that was going to I did honestly think that was going to happen last game. I'm like, oh yeah, they're gonna shoot him up. He's gonna have so much cortisone. He's gonna go out there and he'll be feeling the effects of it afterwards. You know, as all that stuff wears down. That's the problem is that we are having so many of these discussions and we don't know. None of us know. We're all speculating. Even the people close to the team are speculating because the team has put out that he's been questionable like crazy.
So, I was going to ask if you're still confident in the Cavs. Now I kind of want to ask a different question here about Darius Garland. It always comes back to Darius Garland.
But you know what I mean? We don't know. I mean, the people covering the team that are closest even don't know. Chris Fedor covers the team as close as anybody. He was on Afternoon Drive yesterday saying he's hurt. He's hurt. There's a problem. He re-aggravated the injury.
Give me Fedor 03, by the way. Give me Fedor 03, and we'll play that for everybody. We played it at the beginning of the show. I want to play that for everybody at the show right now on the show because that plays into it as well. I don't want to turn this into you making the argument. You're not making the argument that people wouldn't. I'm telling you, if Darius Garland goes out there and plays tonight and plays significant minutes and were to give us an amount of points that we win, I'm going to be wishing he did it on a weekday because I would want to come in tomorrow and extol the virtues of Darius Garland. I think it's been ridiculous. I think he's still a professional basketball player that has... If you're not wanting to be out there while Donovan Mitchell is falling all over the place like he's Jeff Hardy, trying to put balls in the bucket, trying to keep this team, to get this team, to will this team to 1-1, if he does not take that seriously to some level, then I would be sick to my stomach to find out something like that. I don't think that's the case. I think he desperately wants to be out there. And if he were to find himself out there and he were to do well, it's one of the all-time great performances that we've seen in Cleveland sports. That's what that should be. It should be one of the all-time inspiring moments in our city's professional sports history. So if anybody were to call in with that opinion, I don't know what would happen because they still have a game on Sunday. So who the hell knows what we're going to be talking about on Monday. But if somebody were to call in with that opinion, I would flatly deny it and go after him because that would be ridiculous. Now, I know that he's been maligned by a lot of us. I know he's been maligned by the fan base and by a lot of the media out there. But damn it, you take a look at the way that this is and with the way things are. And if he were to go out there and were to provide us with anything, I would salute him. Here's the Fedor from yesterday afternoon on Afternoon Drive. Hit it.
The listing of these guys is questionable. I understand is playing into this whole conversation, and the Cavs have to be better about that. They think they're in the right by doing that. Obviously, gamesmanship, not showing your cards, making Indiana have to guess. When you list a guy as doubtful, it's very different than questionable. If you list a guy as out, it's obviously very different than questionable. So they think they're doing the right thing from a strategic standpoint, but it's not helping. It's not helping the optics of these guys. So look, this is the playoffs. All these guys want to play. They have busted their ass throughout the course of this regular season to be in a position to help this team win a championship. You think they want to sit? You think they want to be stuck on the bench, relegated to cheerleaders? If they could play, they would play. They can't play. That's the problem.
Here's one where I won't get all vulgar and obnoxious with fans. 216-474-0092. So there's your reasoning with the injury. Are you still confident in the Cavs?
So I thought a lot about this.
My confidence with everybody else, I mean, it's shaking. I don't know what type of team we're going to see tonight after they gave up a 20-point lead and lost like that.
Anybody that tells you they're really, really confident is just flat out lying. They're doing Homer radio, which I'd love to do right now. I would love to do to get people pumped up because they're not eliminated. The season is still there. You're looking at what's happening on the other half of the bracket, like the Knicks. I mean, when we had healthy Darius Garland and the Knicks were trying to win in Madison Square Garden, it seems like 2 years ago, but it was, you know, like 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago, and we kicked their ass. And Darius Garland looked like a Harlem Globetrotter, and they had no answers. So, look, I think that it obviously the odds are against you now. Even though Vegas doesn't have you as a huge underdog in the series, they still think you have a chance to win. They have not shot the ball well. Remember, they were the best shooting team in the NBA this year. And through the first two games of this series, they're not just a little below what they had done all year. They don't even look like the same team. The shooting percentage from three-point range is like 25%. Had they have shot even 30% in this series, they'd be up two games to nothing. That is a fact. So despite the fact that they're shooting terribly, their worst of the year, despite the fact that they're without, you know, two starters and somebody else who could start on a lot of teams in DeAndre Hunter, they very easily could have won the last game. They were up 20. They should have. It was an all-time collapse. It was one that, you know, people are going to be talking about for years. Halliburton and that push shot from the top of the key to win the game, it's still etched in my brain. Like, they needed all those heroics to beat you or the series would be 1-1 and we'd be feeling very differently. So clearly, it's not like this is some juggernaut team we can't beat, even shorthanded.
To listen to Andrew Berry at 9:15, are you going to ask him hard-ass questions or hardball questions or softball questions? Questions are we going
to
ask?
I don't like to classify questions in any of those categories, Kenny. I think that the questions have to come from the heart, and they will be legitimate football questions. We're not going to talk circus.
Here we go.
That's not what we're going to do here.
Get Kayla in here. Okay, get your mic on, Kayla.
I might have a few questions.
Where's Mitch? Bring Mitch in here.
Mitch!
I'm going to do this on the fly. Here we go. I got a few. Here, Mitch is flying down the hallway. Look at him. He is beating feet in here. Get in here. Come on now. Get on in here.
Come on now.
Get on in here. Come on now.
Come on.
Get on in here. Get on, boy. Get. All right, you ready, Mitch?
I am.
All right, can Kayla talk too?
I'm here.
All right, Kayla's there. Kayla, turn up your microphone. You have a wonderful voice. Everybody needs to hear it. Okay. If I ask Andrew Berry, what is Nick Chubb's status with this Browns football team? Is that hardball or softball? Kayla.
It's softball because he's not going to give you an answer.
How do you know that?
It's always the same.
No, Kayla, hold on. The question is not the answer. The question is the question. I'm asking the question. It's up to him to answer the thing.
Okay. Everybody wants to know. That's not a hardball question.
I'm not going to pound the table and yell, I need to know. Wait, if it's something that everybody wants to know, then that's not a softball question. If it's something that everybody wants to know, I'm going to ask him the question.
To me, it's something that's going to make him think. Ooh. If it's hardball. It's going to be the same scripted answer every time about Nick Chubb.
Well, if you want me to ask then, what is Flacco's role with two rookies?
Ooh.
Mitch.
That's hardball.
That's a hardball.
She's rolling eyes. She doesn't think
any of
these.
They're just going to call him a mentor. That's it.
You know what? Just cancel the interview.
I mean, that's something in itself.
You don't even need to talk to him. Just talk to me.
Hold on. Sorry. Hold on.
Just cancel the interview.
Hold on.
What's the point?
He himself, though, has said he's not a mentor. Joe Flacco says he's not a mentor. There you go.
Miles Garrett used to say he's not a leader.
This is hardcore. When did he ever say that? Did Miles ever say he's not a leader?
He said he didn't want to be, and then he had to fit the role when Deshaun Watson dropped it.
Lima, is that true?
Go look that up.
I think this is very unfortunate what's happening here. I mean, Ken has prepared some questions that people want to know the answers to. We're just doing our jobs.
I'm gonna ask him what his favorite color is.
Ask him his deepest, darkest secret.
I did that once to a player, and they've been making fun of me ever since. I'm not going to say which player it was.
Is that over there on the Browns casting couch?
The Browns casting couch was Carlos Hyde. Carlos was fun. That was fine. They just caught me in a bad moment. Like when people are coming after me for going after the guys on the bench, and they just caught me in a bad moment with that one. because I looked disinterested in what Carlos was saying. There was a player that we had, and they asked, real quick, CLE for Life says, the question should be, why are you not bringing Nick Chubb back? That's a leading question. I'm not going to ask it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's look, he is, of all the people that we have talked to over the years, I feel like we got more out of Sashi Brown when he was here, honestly, than even, we got him to open up a few times about things.
When?
Andrew is, I remember there was a, God, was it all the way back then? We had a Kirk Cousins dilemma back then. It's funny, 6 years later, we were still talking about Kirk Cousins up until like a month ago.
God, thank God we're not anymore. Good God almighty. No, there was a player who was very nervous around the microphone, and to loosen him up, I just was like, what's your favorite color? His favorite color was green.
That's good to know.
Me
because
too.
I had to get him, really, green's your favorite color? Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite shade of green?
Right,
I do.
Hunter green.
No. No, like more of a lighter, like a mint sage green.
Sage green. Sage green. It's amazing. Okay. All right. Everybody else, be gone. You know what question you're going
to
ask?
Well, him? I have some questions prepared because obviously, much like he tries to anticipate what the draft board is going to look like when his pick comes up, I am tasked with having to try to anticipate how he is going to dodge some of the questions because he's not going to give away any of the state secrets or any of the proprietary information, but I'd like a window into the brain of Andrew Berry. You know what I always love to know, too, just as a total frivolous side note? We always wonder, like, how crazy are the phone calls that you really get during the draft? Because that clock is ticking, right? You only have so much time. But what happens when you get the bothersome GMs? Like, imagine, like, he was dealing, and I think he took advantage of the Jacksonville new GM. How old is that GM in Jacksonville?
18 years
old.
I
mean, honestly.
I have no idea.
Honestly, he looks like he's 25 years old. And some of the stuff that I heard after the draft.
He's a young fella.
He's 34.
And do you think...
What's his name?
James Gladstone.
Dennis McGillicuddy. When you saw him...
Pio Sagapulitelli. Okay.
Do you think the Browns took advantage of the Jacksonville Jaguars? Do you think Andrew Berry took advantage of it?
No.
I do.
Really?
I think he totally did. To trade up in this draft and to give away a first in next year's vaunted draft, this was universally considered a bad draft.
Do you believe... Yeah, but that's because you don't believe Trevor Lawrence is that great. I don't either.
With Trevor Lawrence?
I'm putting words in your mouth here. Do you, Anthony, believe that Trevor Lawrence is okay?
No.
Okay, me neither. So I think you think that they're taking advantage of it. I'm not going to say that they took advantage of it. They have a quarterback that, as of right now, is still a higher level than anything we have. So they have paid a lot of money for Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to try to work it out. And you get a multi-positional athlete.
But
there,
I would also
and Travis
never,
Hunter. They're
I
going
would,
all in with
okay.
Trevor Lawrence.
Are you? I know this is a lot of the football doctrine that you're hearing around. So this is football speak, draft speak, which is,
you know, I'm
quote premium position.
Good at that.
Premium position.
So gritty.
Do you feel...
That's only dirty, nitty-gritty football talk. We're not there
yet, Well, we might
yet,
get there.
Kayla.
We might get there.
Oh, you think that... They couldn't even find the power ranking music yesterday. You think that they can find the all the stuff that's needed for nitty-gritty football talk when Owen isn't here?
Wide receiver is not really considered premium. Yeah, they're important. Every position's important. You don't want to have zeros at every position. But quarterback, defensive end, you know, a pass rusher... certainly left tackle, depending on, you know, what hand your quarterback is. But, you know, both tackles you could throw in there.
Uh-huh.
When we talk premium positions, those are the positions. And, yeah, corner is vitally important. But how much corner is Travis Hunter truly going to play in the NFL? So trade up in this draft for a wide receiver, who, like I told you, I mean, Jeremiah Smith, I don't even think he was the best wide receiver in college football
last year. Why do we keep saying Jeremiah Smith? Jeremiah Smith's eligible to come out for two more years.
I'm just saying, that to me is a generational wide receiver. This is not a generational wide receiver.
I'm just getting annoyed. It's like, well, so Jeremiah Smith, we're in this draft. He's not in this draft. He wasn't in last draft. He's not going to be in any of the drafts before.
But that's what I mean. I can't call this guy a generational receiver if I think there's another guy clearly better than him. So if that's the case, to trade up...
Because they're of the same generation.
To trade up... In this draft for that, I think Andrew Berry took advantage of that guy. So all of this is to get back to, I have to anticipate what the GM or anybody that we talk to, how they are going to answer questions.
Well, I didn't know I was doing the show with Andrew Berry's yes man right now. That's incredible.
I think the skill.
You're the Waylon Smithers to Andrew Berry.
The skill,
this is incredible,
in being a journalist.
All-time upset here.
A true journalist that isn't going to ask the softball questions is you have to anticipate what they're going to say and try to think of a better way to ask a question so that you get them off. You knock them off their balance a little bit. That's what we're trying to do here.
You've made me think.
So that we get a true window into the mind of them as a decision maker.
Is this what you did at the State House? Is this when you covered the State House? Is this what you did? This is good stuff.
You can still find video me going toe-to-toe with then-Governor Taft. You can see it.
I told you off air the nickname they had for him in one of his businesses, right?
No. I don't think you did.
We haven't done a mic off in a long time. Three, two, one. That was his nickname.
That's a good one.
All right. We got Daryl coming up at 802, 216-474-0092. I asked people, you put me on the spot yesterday. Speaking of putting it on the spot, you asked me my power rankings for the Browns' four quarterbacks. And I had said Joe Flacco. Oh, she's got it. Here we
finally
go.
Finally! Yes!
Turn it up.
We had the smoke yesterday for the new Pope, and today we have delivered you the power ranking music.
Kayla gave me the bird like she was the one who was in charge of it yesterday. I didn't know you were going to be able to find it.
I have all the things you said.
All right.
That people wouldn't have.
So number one, I said Joe Flacco. Number two, Shador Sanders. Number three, Kenny Pickett. Number four, Dillon Gabriel. That was my power ranking.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the first quarterback they took in this year's draft, have him squarely dead last.
Yeah. Boy, you have speaking of a way with words, you certainly have a way with words right there, don't you? That's my power ranking. However, and a little bit of that is a guesstimate of what the Browns are thinking and what I'm thinking, right? I asked the fans, Joe Flacco is the overwhelming favorite at number one. That's social media. Who knows? Social media has a lot of crazy things. Do you think that Joe Flacco is everybody else's number one? The majority of fans? Do you believe? Okay.
Yes.
Is it the vast majority of fans?
I don't know about that.
At least the majority.
I mean, in the end, Flacco is 40 years old
But you and I...
Probably not taking him to the Super Bowl.
I don't know if you're on my same wavelength here, and maybe I have to ask Andrew Berry about this. Joe Flacco is the overwhelming favorite. Do you believe that Joe Flacco will be here after training camp?
So I thought so. Then I heard Jason Lloyd yesterday.
You heard a lot of people. Daryl said the same damn thing.
I heard, you know, Jason Lloyd, and he made a pretty compelling case that most likely Joe Flacco could be the odd man out here.
Yeah.
Which I guess it just shows you that we are all flailing away at this thing because, I mean, you certainly can understand we're about to get to one of the more overest of overreactions today at rookie minicamp. Based on a walkthrough, which is what I am expecting them to go through today,
so
and others
the
are
Browns
as well.
Are trying to do two things at once, which is tough because they can rarely do one thing at once. They're going to try to win some football games, and they also are going to try to see what they have in all three of these young quarterbacks. And I think, while I can't condone it, I think this leaves Joe Flacco as the odd man out. Here's Jason yesterday.
Dillon Gabriel's on this team. He's a third-round pick. If you're presuming that Shador makes the team, and I do believe he'll be on this roster, then that leaves one spot for a veteran, and I just think it's Pickett over Joe because that's who they pursued first. That was their intention. One of the first moves they made was go out and acquire Kenny Pickett, and they gave up a draft pick to get him. I think Kenny Pickett has the highest odds of being the week one starter, but I do think that both rookies are going to play often and play early in the season because you got to find out what you have. Very clearly, they told you without telling you their plan was to go get a quarterback in 2026. So that leaves 1 year to see what you've got in these guys, provided both make the roster, and I believe that they will. And then you see, did you run into something with them? Did you find something that you can move with going forward? Okay, great. Now you've got two first-round picks and your quarterback in place. More than likely, they'll probably be back in the quarterback market still in 2026.
I agree with that. Hear more of that at 92.3thefan.com. I think when I mentioned Shador number two, people roll their eyes driving around like Kayla did to me earlier. Remember this. It wasn't Shador's talent, I think, that had him drop all the way to the fifth round. Whatever was said, whatever was rumored, is what got Shador to drop to the fifth round. If he is starting today, and really even starting over the last couple of weeks, but that's a campaign with the fans, let's be honest. Starting today, if the work is there, the talent is already there. not to be, I don't know if he's going to be a franchise quarterback. I don't know. But to be on this roster, to be a backup, yeah, certainly. Talent is there. So what Jason says, I think I just need to accept the truth here. Joe Flacco may be a trade commodity during training camp. The real battle here is between Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders of who's going to be the backup to Kenny Pickett. Like, that's how this is starting to play out.
I kind of think it's trending in that direction.
And if
yeah.
it's Shedeur Sanders, like, nothing against Dillon Gabriel, but what made Shedeur Sanders drop? Because if he can correct that, his talent's there. So that puts him behind Kenny Pickett. And that, because I would put him on my power rankings, you know I don't think that much of Kenny Pickett. I don't know much about Dillon Gabriel. I mean, you watch Dillon Gabriel, but I didn't think he was going to be taken in the third round, for crying out loud. I didn't even know if he was going to get drafted, to be frank with you. If that's the case, you know I do think that Shedeur Sanders has something, that I think he can be a good quarterback. Well, there you go. That's why I rank him number two in my power ranking. Does that make any sense to
you? It does. It totally does. I've never seen a quarterback room like this. Maybe there have been in other markets, whatever, but it's like, to see, we've gone through so many quarterbacks as is over the last 5 years. Like, we always talk about the jersey, the iconic jersey with all the names. But now it's been like how many years where they've used four quarterbacks, and all of this doesn't even include, you know, Deshaun Watson, who is there. What did Elijah Moore just say out the door? Like, man, it'd be nice to have just like a steady quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be nice.
And they're not going to have one. I mean, unless this year one of these guys just rises, just emerges, I find it hard to see that happening. And what I'm worried about is this setup in camp is about the worst possible setup you could have to make sure to groom the next quarterback.
I thought, oh my God, I should get her the Barking Backers thing. Hand to God. Get her the Barking Backers thing, where you get like a bucket hat and a bow and what else? I forget what the hell. Oh yeah, you get dog tags for the doggy, for the BB. And I bought it, and the email went to her, and she loved it for Mother's Day. We don't get each other gifts. We don't do that. I do not accept birthday gifts. Father's Day gifts are an absolute no for me.
But this was good because it was outside the box.
Yes.
It's not your standard throwaway, okay, here's flowers and a gift certificate for, you know, a massage. Like, those things are great, and women love them, but at the same time, like, this shows that you put some thought into it.
Yeah,
and
that was thought.
Some people I saw were cracking on you for this because saying it seems like more of a gift for the dog. And I'm like,
not a gift for the dog. The dog don't know any better. But seriously, it gets dog treats and whatever. Like, but she don't know any better. She's a dog. She's only 2 years old. She doesn't know who the Browns are. If I take her over to the stadium during the tails, and I forget what the event they got going on over there, Wags and Tails or something like that, she's just going to be running around in grass. She doesn't know she's at the middle of the stadium. She has no idea about the history of the Cleveland Browns, good, bad, ugly, whatever it might be. And Liz isn't the biggest football fan ever. It's just something that's cute. Liz,
is that the only thing you're getting her?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, oh, you can, what? What's your problem? Okay, the mic is on. You go right on ahead.
Oh, it's on now. I would be disappointed if I was Liz. Yeah, well, it's a gift for the dog.
Well, I'm married to Liz. I ain't married to you.
That's okay. We would never work out. I would yell at you all the time. You would hate me.
Well, I don't get yelled at.
He has his fair share of yelling. Oh, she doesn't yell at all?
She yells at me?
Yeah.
No.
You told me once you didn't like the smell of her soap and you threw it away.
Yeah, I did do that.
I would never let that go.
I didn't tell her that. She didn't know. She just figured it was thrown away and that was it. I didn't like it. I threw it away.
It magically disappeared.
Yeah, things. We got three boys. Things disappear all the time. Who's to know? Who's to understand any of that?
All right, but that's a gift for the dog.
Yeah, I can't. When we argue, no, how is it a gift for the dog, Kayla?
What is Liz going to do with it?
Doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
She's going to get pictures of the dog, and she's going to love Ginny running around in brown stuff. That's what she's going
to
love.
I hope she cherishes it for years to come.
My wife will.
And there's a stadium experience. So
you just said she's not that big of a football fan.
Yeah, but she likes cool things like that, kitschy things like that. She doesn't care about sports. She does not care. She does not care.
You should get her flowers in a card on Sunday.
No,
at least.
I get her flowers in a card on other days. I'll get her flowers in a card on June 30th. I'll get her flowers in a card. in the middle of October. I do not like, we do not, we are a weird people. I understand that this is different. We do not celebrate with each other holidays, anniversaries, things of that nature. We don't get each other gifts for those things. Because I've told this before many times, when we were so dirt poor when we first got together, we couldn't afford gifts. So there was no point of getting each other gifts when it was just like, well, we could either pay the rent this month or we could get each other gifts. So we had to pay the rent that month. And it's kind of, it's always stuck that way. So that's the way we are. And maybe this is left over from my father, Lima, where he never really accepted Father's Day gifts well or birthday gifts well or anything well. And I just can't do it. Mm-mm. Like next month, no, don't want anything. I really don't even want to recognize the day. But and certainly my birthday is in the same month, and I don't want to recognize that day either.
Now, there's the sentimental
especially
gift.
Especially next year.
But there's also the gift of something that you can actually use. I mean, if let's say the kids get older, you know, let's say they're in their teens, and you could tell they really worked their butt off to provide a gift for Father's Day. Like, that would be the sentimental nature of that, I think, about the things. It's about the effort and the thought.
I would rather them work their butt off. I'd be more proud of them working their butt off and getting them something they could use for themselves.
Okay.
Whatever that may be, at whatever point they are in their lives. That's what I would like. If they wanted to get a gift for their parents, they'd get a gift for mom. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I know that makes me a bit of a stick in the mud. I'm sorry. I mean, you and I know a guy who he gets toys and stuff for Christmas.
Yeah.
So, and I do not. No, absolutely not. I'm happy with my case of beer, and I got my cigars, and that's basically where it's at.
Beer of the Month Club.
What if she got you beer and cigars?
Well, she won't give me cigars. She might buy me some beer, but she ain't going to give me cigars. I know how she is on
that. She doesn't want to smell all that.
No, well, she just goes, it's not good for your health. But that's the only thing she says. She don't bother me out on the porch or anything when I smoke them. Sorry. I think that today starts the fight for the backup to Kenny Pickett, not the backup to Joe Flacco. Who do you think has the lead right now going into rookie minicamp between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders? We're going to get back to the Cavs coming up here soon, I promise. But as we get ready for rookie minicamp, who do you think has the lead? With the Browns, not with the fans. I think with the fans, Shedeur Sanders has the lead.
It's Dylan Gabriel.
You believe Dylan Gabriel has the lead?
Yeah.
Why?
Unless the larger point is they definitely thought Shedeur was better, but they didn't want the circus. So they took Dylan Gabriel, and then they couldn't believe that Shedeur was around. And then they're like, well, now we got to take him. Like, so they're still getting the circus. So to me, they took Dylan Gabriel first. Like, how is he not ahead?
I agree with you.
Everything else would be counterintuitive.
I think you think I'm going to disagree with you. I think as of 7:51 a.m., the morning of rookie minicamp, Dylan Gabriel's in the lead. This is where the challenge sits for Shedeur Sanders. So many people in the league say it. Some of it has to be true. Maybe not all of it, but I can't sit there and deny all of it and say none of it's true. It's all made up about Shedeur Sanders. Something about him rubbed people the wrong way. I don't know what it was. I'm not even going to speculate. You've heard all the speculating before, and frankly, I'm tired of it. So now he's had 2 weeks, and if he goes out there and he has digested whatever they've been able to show him so far, whether it be on the Microsoft Touch or anything like that, or Surface or whatever the hell they call those things, if he has digested as much of it as he could, and he shows that he can not just win the drill, but also lead the rookies in whatever team sessions that they have, I think Shedeur Sanders can quickly take the lead. Because Dylan Gabriel, hey man, I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. That's an adult. We talked to him. That's a grown man talking to us. We've interviewed a lot of rookies, and I consider them still kids. Dylan Gabriel's definitely a grown man. But if Shedeur Sanders was able to use his talents and then his know-how and is able to actually draw it up on the whiteboard now and click in and lock into whatever he's supposed to do. Dylan Gabriel was never seen as a first-round pick or even a second-round pick. Shedeur Sanders was.
But that's
so by the end of this weekend, I'm serious about this. Shedeur Sanders needs to show that he's serious, not just about the play on the field, but everything else that comes with it, and he can find himself in the lead.
I guess that's what I want to know is, was Shedeur Sanders ever a first-round pick?